Good morning. I know these are strange times that we live in, and it can be anxious times for many people, and so I'm aware of that, and just want to, first of all, try to encourage you that you stay connected with your Sunday school, that you also pray for your church and your pastor, but that you also think about your neighbors and just be aware of their needs or their potential needs, and especially if they're elderly, so that we might be the church to those around us during this time. I know that there's a lot of questions that we all have that in time I'm sure we'll get some answers, but the main thing is this: do your best to protect yourself. Educate yourself about how this virus has spread, and if you don't need to get out, please don't get out, because the more you're interacting with other people, the higher your risk is. And so I've been talking to healthcare workers, doctors have been on the television almost 24/7. You can hear this from them. I just wanted to say it as your pastor, be very mindful of how this is spread, and just try to limit your contact. Well, for this morning, I have a message that I've preached probably three times, maybe four, and it is not an easy message to preach. It is a message concerning revival. It's a message concerning the church getting right and our country getting right with God so that He can heal us. You know that a very familiar verse in Chronicles said, "If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land." So it behooves us to get ourselves right with God so that He can do what He wants to do and be a blessing to us and to heal us from our problems. Now, as I preach this message, I want you to know that I'm going to be preaching it from a heart that's broken for our nation. And I'm preaching it desiring God to heal us, not just our physical needs, but that He'll heal our spiritual needs, because our spiritual needs are certainly greater than any physical need that we might have at this time. And so I just want you to be aware of that. I'm going to be reading out of Isaiah chapter 38. And it's a familiar story. It's Hezekiah, and he falls sick. And not just any sickness. God's man comes in, Isaiah, and he says, this is a sickness that is going to lead to death. And so I want to read this text. It's sort of a lengthy passage, but to get the message, you have to read it all. And so I want to do this in context. It says, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set your house in order, for you will die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord. And he said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." And that means he wept greatly. "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I've heard thy prayer. I've seen your tears. Behold, I will add unto your days 15 years. I will deliver you in this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto you from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees which has gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees by which degrees it was gone down. the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. And here's his prayer. He records for us what he prayed. I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go down to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end to me. I reckon till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so I did chatter. I did mourn as a dove. My eyes fell, looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me, or ease me. What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me, and make me to live? Behold, for peace I had great bitterness. But you have in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise you, death cannot celebrate you. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for your truth. The living, he shall praise you, as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known your truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore will I sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord. For Isaiah had said, let them take a lump of figs and lay it for a plaster upon the boil, and it shall recover. Hezekiah also had said, what is the sign that I shall go up into the house of the Lord? Now, to fully grasp the imagery, the text is also given to us in 2 Chronicles. It has a few more details there, but I'll not read that. You could take the time and read that for yourself. But this gives us a pretty good picture of what happened to Hezekiah and the outcome of his life. And so I just want to kind of work back through this for just a moment and talk about Hezekiah before we start talking about our nation and our own problems. In those first few verses, you find there's the problem. What's the problem? Well, Hezekiah is sick unto death. That's the diagnosis from the Lord. You are in a desperate condition. You are going to die. Set your house in order. Get things ready because there's going to be a funeral. Hezekiah, from that point, rolls towards the wall and begins to pray. Hezekiah's prayer is recorded, like I said, starting there in verse 9 down through about verse 20. And then you find God's answer to the prayer. But Hezekiah got real before God. When the message came to him about his life going to be snuffed out, he mourned, he wept, he prayed. His prayer was something that would move anybody when you read it. Things like, I'm like a weaver's beam. And what he's talking about there is when the weaver's beam comes over and it's making a cloth, it's making some kind of fabric, at some point that is cut off and then the piece is ready to be used. He said, I've been cut off from the weaver's beam. He talks about how the shepherd's tent is. It's folded up and it's time to move on. And so that's what he felt his life was like. Talks about how he chattered and how he mourned and like a dove and how he looked upward and he said, Lord, I'm going in the best of my years. I'm leaving this earth behind. And so in the midst of that prayer, we find if you overlay the scriptures that he prayed for God to give him more time. And that's the title of this sermon this morning, if I could turn back time, if I could get some more time, is what Hezekiah's asking for. Lord, give me a recovery. Give me a few more years. And his prayer is a moving prayer towards that. He mentions his plight. His plight is that where he once had peace, only bitterness is now found in his life. If you read down through there, you hear his plea. You hear what he's asking for. He's asking to be recovered. He's asking God to put his sins behind his back. He's asking God to not put him in the grave just yet. But give him a chance to praise you one more time, Lord. And so what happens is, God stops Isaiah as he's out in the courtyard of the palace, and he turns him around. He says, go back inside and tell Hezekiah that I'm going to give him 15 more years. So he's 39 years old, and he's going to give him 15 more years, which would make him 54 years old. So instead of death, God's answer to Hezekiah's request is, I'm going to let you live to be 54 years old. Now, for many of us, that's not very old, but if you're going to die at 39, 54 looks pretty good. And so he was giving him more time. And so when you think about it, the promise that God had given him was, I'm going to raise you up off of the bed. And so Hezekiah responds by saying, Lord, I'll praise you for the healing. I'll praise you in your temple. I will sing my songs upon stringed instruments to you in your house. And I basically saying, I can't wait to get to go back to the Lord's house where I can worship him and praise him. Basically saying, I want to attend church again. And for anybody that's ever been sick for any amount of time, one of the things, if you're a believer, one of the things you want to do is you want to get back to church. I'm a firm believer that most of us, after we've been shut up for a couple, 3 weeks, we're going to be saying the same thing. I'm ready to get back to life. I want to get back to church. I want to get back to where I can once again praise you, Lord, and worship you. And so, that's a great story. And if we just cut the sermon right there, that would have good application to our life. We can see that there are times when we have a predicament that's bad. And if we'll go to the Lord in prayer and really seek his face, he'll give us an answer. May not be the answer we're looking for, but we'll get an answer. And in fact, if we mean business with God, oftentimes, he will give us the answer that we're looking for so that we can get back to serving him and praising him. So that would be a great message, and we could stop right there. But I want to turn this message to the situation that we find ourselves in our country. And as I look across our land, I just want to say this without reservation. Our county, our state, our nation needs recovery. We need to be healed from our sickness. We are desperate. And what we need is God to give us more time. So, like Isaiah, we need to come before the Lord with a cry of revival, a cry to give us restoration. Like Isaiah, we should come before the Lord and mince our words. We need to hear from God in his way and in his tone. We need to hear what he has to say to us from his word, and we need to say, God, we are sick. We do need recovery. The fact of the matter is, our sickness is a lot like Hezekiah's sickness. We are sick unto death. We are at a point where if we don't have God intervene, we're going to die as well. Spiritually speaking, our country is on its deathbed. And somebody needs to sound the alarm. Somebody needs to be the Isaiah that'll step into the room where the sick person is and say, you're going to die unless God does something supernatural. Your time is over. Your time is up. And you need to set your house in order. Physically, you need to set your house in order spiritually, because if God doesn't do something, you're in danger of losing what you have. Now, somebody needs to do that. And I believe that it's time for God's people, God's men, to step up and say, we're sick. But God has the answer. God can heal us. Revival is the only hope for us. An awakening is the only hope for our nation. You know, there were times in this nation's past when we saw awakenings, when we saw great revivals. The Great Awakening that happened in the 1700s happened in the New England colonies. It also happened in England. There were great preachers like Jonathan Edwards, George Whitfield, David Brainerd, Samuel Davies. Those men, they preached righteousness. They preached sin is sin, God is good, hell is hot. You need to get right with God so that you don't have to face His judgment. And I'm telling you, God worked and God moved. The second Great Awakening that happened in the 1800s, 18 to 1820, were because of men like Charles Finney and Henry Beecher and Lyman Beecher, Edward Everett, preaching the message. It's time to get right with God. It's time for us to come back to the one who made us, who loves us, who wants to save us. And a lot of people were saved and churches were revived. Many churches were planted during those times. Some of the churches that are across our great nation today were planted in those 1800 revivals. God moved. But it was because someone stepped into the room and said, you're going to die if God doesn't do something supernatural. You better get your house in order, or else you're gonna have no hope, for the situation is that grave. And so I want to be honest with us today. As American churches, we have left our first love. We've walked away from the one who guarantees our greatness. We've abandoned our first love. We have abandoned morality in this country. What used to be called good is now called evil. What was once called evil is now called good. We live for pleasure in this country. And somebody needs to step up and be honest and say, it's time for us to get back to where the Lord is first and everything else comes after that. God's people, His church, needs to get right with the Lord. I think in many situations, there's little desire for the things of God in our life. We find, I just want to be honest with you, we find time to do everything else. And we find such little time to do for the Lord, to spend with the Lord, and to serve the Lord. And so, let's be honest, church is where this needs to start. Not with lost people, but with church people. For some, 1 hour a week is what they call spirituality, Christianity. Folks, that is not being a Christian, 1 hour a week. A Christian is someone who looks like Christ every day of the week. They're one who strives to be more like the one who saved them. Every morning, they want to make sure their relationship with him is fresh. That's what it means to be a Christian. You know, what piques my interest is not just those who show up on Sunday morning. I don't want to minimize that. But I want you to know that what piques my interest is who comes back for prayer meeting and for Sunday night service, who participates in serving the Lord in their job and in their school and throughout the week. What are they doing for God? That's what revs my engine up, is to see God's people working and serving Him every day of the week. And so if we as a nation are going to live, the church has got to be revived. The church has got to come back to her first love and have that fire rekindled in her heart. And she's got to get back to where He is number one and everything else is put in its proper place. Families have got to set their house in order. Individuals have got to get humble before God if we're ever to have God revive us, God restore us, give us more time. There's a sickness in our land that requires us to get real with God about a recovery. The sickness in our land is ever before our eyes. Let's just be honest. We hug trees and we kill babies in our country. That is a sickness that we want to see minimized, and we would love to see that go away. And our country is not going to recover until we see that happen. I want to be honest with us. That really is the main thing in our country that needs to be resolved. Abortion needs to be done away with. The blood is on our hands as a country. And God can't recover us until we get that right. And I promise you, there are 100 ways that we can try to get that right. The first way we can do is pray for God to turn our hearts back to Him. And we can go to the polls and we can vote for men and women who don't stand for abortion, but they stand for life. Those are a couple of ways that we can start by doing this. We can support family. We can support children. We can love families. The next time you're in line at Walmart, you see a little lady with four kids and she's got her hands full, say an encouraging word to them. Love family. Love children. I don't know how many times my wife and I have heard something like this. You guys have 7 kids, really? Do y'all know how that happens? And so I've got a few catty remarks about that. One of them is, yeah, we know how it happens, and that we enjoy it. But the honest thing about that is that if people would love families and love children, they'd come up to you and say, my, how God has blessed you, instead of how cursed you are because you have 7 children. So those are some ways that we can redefine what it means to be people of life and to love life and not put what God does down. We are a country where we have prescriptions that we feel for our dogs. Now, I understand. I got a dog, three of them that I love. And, man, if one of them got sick, I do my best to try to help that dog survive. But, folks, we live in a country where the dog has replaced the child. And people will spend more time with their pet than they will with their son or their daughter. Their pet will be better trained than the obedience of their children. And so that you can tell that they've spent more time working with training an animal than they have spent time with their family. That's the kind of country that we live in today. Let's think about generations ahead of us that have been raised by sodomites. What kind of corruption does that bring into your mind, into the way you think, what's right and wrong, and how you develop as a child? Raised by what we're calling same-sex couples who can go to a place and get married because we've redefined marriage. We are a sick nation. God's the only one that can define marriage, and He said it's to be between one man and one woman for life. In a monogamous relationship. We've legalized hardcore pornography on the internet. And you can watch it on your handheld device. That's the sickness that we find in our land. We're quickly becoming the most violent nation that ever existed. Our country is sick. We have addictions for almost all vices. Many of those vices are legal. Matter of fact, I find it almost comical to see when we legalize a new vice, what I call a vice, what the Bible would call sin, and quickly behind us legalizing it, there's a helpline for addicts for that vice. That doesn't make sense to me. Why don't we just call it what it is? Once you've labeled it what it is, let's set it aside and say, we should stay away from that because it's a problem and it hinders our relationship with God and with one another. And what we find, if I could just try to sum this up, what we find in our culture today is we find the consciences of many have become hardened against what God says is right, what God says is wrong. And their hardened conscience is a one step away from being a seared conscience. And then there's the possibility of having no conscience at all. And many times you can look into the hollow eyes of some of our youth and you can say, no, you can't do that. And they look at you like they're from another planet or you're from another planet because they don't understand why they can't do this or why that's wrong or what makes that right. And so we're raising a generation with no Bible, no real morals, no absolutes. We're throwing off authority, and what do you get? You get anarchy. You get kids that go to the beach when they've been told to stay home and party it up for a whole week, and they don't even care that they could potentially be spreading something that could kill their grandparents, kill their parents, and even kill them. It's because they don't listen to authority, and they are rebellious. That's the kind of youth that are growing up all across this nation. We have a sickness. You see, America was once sound and healthy. We're not perfect by any means, but we were on a road of righteousness at one time, but not anymore. It's time for us to stand up and say, it's enough. Somebody needs to walk into the room, as I said before, and say, you're going to die if you don't have something supernatural happen unless God intervenes. Folks, it's time for us to get on our knees and say, God, will you forgive us? I humble myself before you. God, you are our only hope. I believe if America would repent, turn to God from our wicked ways, we would see God do some amazing and supernatural things in our midst. I heard one pastor just this last week say, why don't we pray that this coronavirus will just supernaturally go away? Why don't we pray that God would just cut it off? And, you know, I think that's a great, great request. But a better prayer would be, God, forgive our sins. God, we turn to you and we seek your face. And then let God do what God promised. He will heal our land. We got to get the first thing first. Folks, we don't have any business praying for God to bring healing to our land if we're not ready to repent of our sins. And because of this sickness, we stand in need of a remedy. The remedy is really prescribed here in our text. In verses 16 and 17 of this text, it says, O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So, will you recover me and make me to live? Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but in love to my soul you delivered it from the pit of corruption. Why? For you have cast all my sins behind your back. You see, what Hezekiah did was he got serious before God. He humbled himself before God. In fact, he said, God, I need you to put my sins behind your back. God, will you put my sins away so that they're not in front of you, so that your eyes aren't fixed on them? God, will you make me right with you. I mean, he got serious, he got humble, and he got repentant. I want you to think about, what does it mean to have your sins put behind the back of God? You see, because if you put something behind your back, no matter where you turn, you don't see it. That's what Hezekiah's asking God to do. We need to understand that there is no peace with God until we realize the bitterness that our sin has caused God and has caused us. We've got to stop hiding our sins and start confessing them. We've got to start agreeing with God that what we've been doing and what we've been participating in is not right. And we want him to forgive us of it, to cleanse us from it. Like 1 John 1:9 says, we'll confess our sins. He'll be faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's where we've got to get, folks. We've got to get broken before God. There's the problem. There's the prayer. There's the plight of our nation. But here's the plea, God, forgive us. Make us right once again. And then you find in verse 18 and following, here's a resolve that we ought to have as the living. Here's what the church ought to resolve to do as God's people. Verse 18 says, Lord, the grave cannot praise you. We need to resolve with ourselves and with God. God, we need more time. Give us more time as a nation. Give us more time as a people. Give our church more time to praise you. Lord, save me. That's what verse 20 says. Verse 19 says, the living, he shall praise thee. And the Father to the children shall make known your truth. Lord, the only way that you're going to get praise like you deserve, the only way your truths are going to be passed on, the only way that we're going to be able to sing songs and go into your house is if you forgive us, heal us, and give us more time. Lord, please, the grave can't praise you. If we're having funerals, Lord, we're not going to be worshiping you like we could. Lord, help us to get right. You see, our nation is this huge ship, and to see it turned around, it'll take time, it'll take intentions, it'll take us being serious about it, but it can turn if God's people are willing to start the process, to be the ones who lead out. I've heard a lot of requests from our government. I've heard a lot of requests from medical people. Please, in this time, stay away from large groups. If you have a fever and you have a cough, isolate yourself. I've heard them say, we're going to have to shut down businesses so that we don't have person-to-person contact. If you don't have to travel, don't travel. Man, if I've heard that once, I've heard that 1,000 times, maybe 10,000 times. But, folks, I've not heard enough. Americans, let's get down on our knees and pray today for God to forgive us and to heal us. America, we need to return to God. I've not heard that, not even once. Folks, that's what I'm telling us we've got to do. This morning, my request for us as a church is simply this. If you're listening and you're not a member of our church, my request for you is, number one, let's get serious about our condition. It's time to roll to the wall and say, God, heal me. God, forgive me. God, give us more time. And perhaps God will send the word back. I'm going to give you more time. I'm going to heal your disease. I'm going to give you a recovery. Folks, that's what we need. That is the hope that we have if we will turn back to God. That's the hope of revival. The Lord is ready to save. He's ready to give us the time that we need. He's ready to give us a recovery so that we can praise Him, so that we can sing, so that we can attend church, so that we can walk in truth, so that we can be about His business. He's ready to do that if we're willing to repent and turn back to Him. That last verse says, "What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord?" That's a pretty good question, isn't it, today? What is the sign that I shall go up to the house of the Lord? Hezekiah, of course, was asking God to give him a literal sign that he knew, I'm going to get to go back and worship God in the temple. We don't know how long we're going to have to be doing it like this. You at home, me here. We don't know what it's going to look like in the next 2-3 weeks, month, even 3 months down the road. But I can tell you, if God's people get serious about this situation, if God's people will lead the way, God may very well send us a sign. He may very well give us a message and say, I'm going to do something supernatural in your midst. I'm going to do something that will relieve, recover, and save people, save a nation. And frankly, we need this all over the world. This is a message that we need to be proclaiming to a lost world. Turn to God. Turn from your sins to God so that He can bring forgiveness into your life. The only way that can happen, folks, is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the great mediator, the only mediator. He's the one who gave His life, shed His blood so that sin could be put away forever. We've got to come back to our Savior who loves us, who will lead us, and who wants to do for us good things. We've got to come back to Him. And perhaps today there's many people listening that just simply need to fall down before a holy God and say, God, save me. God, will you forgive my sins? I trust Jesus Christ. I want to know what it means to have your salvation. I want to be forgiven, have your Holy Spirit live inside of me. I want to know that I have a home in heaven with you eternally. God, would you do that for me today? You can do that right there where you are. Many people have been saved in their homes, right there at their coffee table, or at their dining room table, in their bedroom. You can do that right where you are. You can get on your face before God, Christian, and you can say, God, forgive me for not putting you first. Forgive me for not being a good citizen of heaven, a good citizen of this country. God, help me to get it right. If you have a decision that you need to make and you need somebody to pray with you, I want you to know that my phone is going to be on, and I will try to answer as many calls as I can if you need to call me. For some of you that don't know my number, it's 918-315-7555. I appreciate it if you'd call. If God's working in your life, if You've been saved today. I'd love to hear that. And let's keep in touch over these days through phone. And maybe you want to send me a message by internet or post something on Facebook. I'd love to read those comments. God help us. God bless this nation. But it's only going to be when this nation truly blesses God, truly turns back to God. I'd like to lead us in prayer. Father, I come before your presence, and I just ask that we would get serious about the sickness that's in our nation, not just the physical sickness. Lord, we've gotten serious about that, but that we get serious about our spiritual sickness, our sin sickness. Lord, it's time for us to call out to you and repent of our sins and ask you for forgiveness. It's time, Father, that we say, Lord, you are first. You're number one. And there's none else but you. It's time, Father, for us to call good, good, and evil, evil. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to see this old ship turn around. And I pray, Father, that even in the crisis moments that we find ourselves in, the storm that we find ourselves in the midst of, that we'll not get hard towards you. We'll not get indifferent towards you. But Lord, that we will find our hearts soft, our eyes wet with tears, and our knees bowed before you. You're God. We're your people. God, help us to get back to that place. I pray you'll save sinners and that you'll revive your church in the midst of these days. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.